We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Were you surprised when Bill took you out of that game?
No. I'm a realist. So yeah, through it all, you know, I'm coachable. I didn't want to put up, you know, how bad would that have been? Like, no, I'm not coming. You know, that would probably been embarrassing. But he came and said, you know, Stidham's finishing. I agreed, and that's what it was. It was, you know, for any type of competitor, do you feel embarrassed? Yeah. And I am as honest as I could possibly be right now, but yet it tells you. And the first thing I said to myself coming home, I said, you keep playing games like that, bro, and it's going to be a permanent change.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Fitzy's in the house with us. That was Cam Newton on the Greg Hill Show this morning. I will repeat what I've said in the past, but it bears repeating because we all listen to the whole thing this morning, as we do every morning. I love everything the guy says. He could not be more accountable. He couldn't be more self-effacing. He points blame directly at himself. He takes the responsibility. I love everything he says. I just don't like everything he does.
You know what sucks even more on top of everything else that we've discussed is that Cam Newton, to me, is the best interview currently in Boston sports radio. Station, any of the guests, whether it's local or national, he's the one I look forward to the most. And the way things are trending, it's not going to be a full season of interviews with him.
Nope.
No, it's going to be the Stidham show.
It's going to be 8 weeks of Newton, 8 weeks of Stidham, or even Hoyer. Because let's be honest, how you think Stidham's just going to take the job and just run with it? I would have my doubts. So I'm serious. But that sucks because I look forward to it every Monday. He's great. And last week, this kind of came to me because Cam had some great lines about how bad he played against Denver. And then he started going on. And as the week went on, his excuse bucket for the team was getting lighter and lighter and lighter. And he has all these great things like, I don't point fingers, I point thumbs. And it was so reminiscent of an injured Chris Sale going out there 2 years ago, getting shelled, getting pulled before five innings, not throwing hard, and just never once ever making blaming somebody else or making any excuse at all. And you're like, oh, that's great. He says the right thing.
Not only did he take the blame, Rich, he piled the blame
on
himself.
He would pile it on himself, like to the point where you're like, oh, my God, you need to talk to somebody because you just seem depressed about everything. But that's all well and good, but five straight weeks of I need to be better, you're like, okay, well, you're not. Like, you're I'm not saying you're not trying. I'm not saying you don't care, because you do. But for whatever the reasons are,
not only is he not better, yesterday he was worse.
And that's what's scary, too, about this Patriots team, is we have gotten so accustomed to, one, them being a contender, but two, getting better as the season goes on. And they've actually gotten worse. Now, the Kansas City game, call it whatever you want, because it wasn't the starting quarterback. But three straight weeks now, you're like, what is this team? What is it?
Does it seem worse? Like Cam Newton is caught between skill sets or schemes right now? It almost feels to me like his instinct is to just do what he's always done, which is make a play with his legs, take off, run. And I almost feel like the Patriots would benefit from it. But at the same time, they realize they can't go that far or only can go so far. So they're trying to make him be a bit more of a traditional, I won't say drop back passer, but, you know, throw the football, which is kind of important for a quarterback to do.
It is.
And he can't do it now. So his mechanics are all janky. He's still rusty. Nothing's fluid right now.
I'm done with the rust stuff.
He's not, you know what he's doing?
I'm done with that.
He's not pitching. He's thinking.
No, I don't disagree with any of that stuff, Fitzy. I'm done with the excuse of rusty. I mean, you know, he's been here for a while now.
But what about this? Before you bench him or before you cut him, which would probably be the next thing after benching him, why don't you go back to the Miami game plan? Why don't you, if you're just going to get rid of him, why not run him 15 times? Because you remember after week one, is it sustainable? Everybody was talking about, is it sustainable? Mm-hmm. Well, what if you only need him for 1 year? What if that's what it's come to now? You're like, you know what? The whole idea of him being the future quarterback is out the window.
Play him till the wheels fall off?
Yes, because he can run. He can run.
He
can truck guys over. He can get in the end zone. So why not just do that? Maybe have a game where he only throws the ball 19, 20 times, runs the ball 15, is doing some run-pass options with Burkhead and with White, and that's what the offense is. Forget him dropping back and trying to make four different reads. That ain't happening.
It was easy as can be yesterday to see what the 49ers' game plan was. And Jimmy just picked them apart, little passes over the middle, a lot behind the line of scrimmage, the big wide zone runs. They stretched it out left and right.
Set
it
the was edge.
So, yeah. It
Tony
was
Romo
so...
mentioned, I know you were at the stadium, but Tony Romo mentioned that about a thousand times.
But, yeah.
But okay, but the larger point being, you could see what their game plan was.
Yeah.
Once the Patriots took the ball, I had no idea what the frig they were doing.
You had no idea. Second half, Damon Harris had some hard runs. Okay, great. You're down 20. Now you have to run the ball. Like, you could have maybe sprinkled in some runs earlier.
I remember back in 2012, the last time the 49ers came to Foxborough, the Patriots went down 31-3. And they stormed all the way back, tied it up, ultimately lost 38-31. It was an awesome, you want to talk about moral victories, it was an awesome game.
Yeah.
Yesterday when they were down 23-3, it was like, no.
Well,
this is not going to happen.
Watching some of the games, so again, the marquee game yesterday was Titans and Steelers. And the Steelers had this huge lead, and then the Titans come storming back. Like, I think there's almost more I'm actually more scared of the Titans if I'm the Chiefs or the Ravens or any other contender than I am the Steelers, and the Steelers won the game. The Titans missed a field goal late to tie it and force overtime, but all the momentum was Titans. And maybe you can question, like, all right, how do you get off to that bad of a start? But the way Henry ran, the way Tannehill threw to Brown, like, they look like the more dangerous team, whereas Roethlisberger's kind of throwing picks, and he had that one pick in the end zone where he threw into a triple coverage. You're like, what are you doing? So you can have a loss, and the Patriots have had a couple this year where you're like, all right, some things to take out of it. This was the opposite of that. This was just a bad, demoralizing loss, and you don't know how they could possibly get better.
I've already said that if it were me, I would make the switch at quarterback now, because what I see happening to Cam Newton doesn't feel fixable to me. I don't intend it to be a hot sports take. I intend it to be my honest opinion based on what I've seen so far. But in the hot sports take Olympics, we have awarded the gold medal. No further competition is needed because former quarterback Jeff Garcia took the hot sports take and cranked it up to 11.
You go into this game, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. You throw, 3 more interceptions? You get yanked in the second half? There's nothing good going your way. Why are you dressing like that to bring more attention to yourself? I'd be trying to ask the equipment managers, put me in your jock sock cart and sneak me in the back door, and I'll show up on the field and do the best that I can.
Jeff, this sounds like you're speaking from too much experience here, okay? This sounds you're speaking from experience.
This just goes back to a couple years of just watching this guy and seeing him at the podium, but yet what he's doing on the field does not translate to being that guy.
Like
and
Joe
I just
Montana.
Feel like...
I mean, Joe Namath.
Yeah.
The fur coat.
When you predict you're going to win a Super Bowl and you go out and do it, wear whatever the hell you want. But, you know, right now, I'm not buying it.
What a loser.
What an absolute
clown.
Do you know what he sounds like? I mean, look,
I don't know if he
probably
does.
All know
he sounds
what he
like
sounds
Corky
like.
Sinclair from Waiting for Guffman.
I mean, you can't dress like that?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because you're losing.
Because of how you're playing?
Yeah, you need to just sneak into the stadium now because you're playing poorly.
Hide me in your jock sock cart or whatever you call it.
Now, our WEEI colleague, Lucy Burge, took on a little more informed opinion of this. She broke down the outfits in the 2 wins as opposed to the outfits in the 3 losses that he had. And she suggested Cam needs to play away from the gray palette a little more because he lost the games wearing the gray palette.
Yeah, the so muted tones
go,
he's
go
losing.
Go big colors,
exactly.
Popping colors.
I think that was at least a reasoned, and she was obviously tongue-in-cheek responding to Jeff Garcia. You sound like a moron.
Yeah, so...
You wear affects how you play?
Like, what kind of breakdown is that? This is a guy who was a quarterback. So, like, great, you just, and he covers the Niners. So yep. You watch the...
That was NBC Sports Bay Area.
So the opposing quarterback, who has had a lousy season and had a horrible game, they're like, all right, Jeff, like, what are you seeing? He's like, well, he wears loud suits, so I'm going to go with that. Like, well, Jeff, you played 10 years in the NFL. Is there anything on the field that you're seeing? No, he wears big, bright outfits, and I don't like it.
I don't like sashes.
What?
I don't like these big hats, Jeff. Do you notice anything about on the his field? Mechanics?
Like, is he? Yeah, mechanics.
Like, is the ball coming out?
Is
of his
he missing
hand
open
weird?
Receivers? No, he wears hats. Jeff, we're gonna need you to be a
cravats,
little bit better.
His cravats are yep. a bit too ostentatious
Correct.
For me.
He has some bright suits.
So this morning on the Greg Hill Show,
what
to their
clown.
Credit,
D-bag. Yeah.
They asked Cam Newton about what Jeff Garcia had to say. And talk about taking the high road. I'm not sure I'd have been able to do what Cam Newton did with that question today.
No.
Who is this?
Jeff Garcia.
former 40, quarterback. Yeah, for the 49ers.
Number five, Jeff Garcia?
Yeah. Yes.
I agree with him. The fact that he's a former player, he has every right to say that. Until that happens, then so be it. But that's another opinionated theory. And it's fair to say. So, I mean, I know I come off to so many different people, so many different ways, and that's fine. And he, you know what? He's exactly right. But I'm not changing the way I dress. So.
Well, he was saying that essentially you should have a different outfit for post loss and the
more somber looking.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jeff, but you know, I would say this. I do certain things because of the culture I'm from, where I'm from. I don't know where Jeff is from, and I don't want to harp on it too long, but let's just say he's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I could not have gone there. I could not have taken that high road. Jeff Garcia just sounds like an absolute clown show, and yet Cam Newton said, you know what? That is a former player. That's his opinion. And okay, he's right, although I'm not going to change a thing. But okay.
Which means he's not right, because I'm not changing how I dress. But
so Garcia would feel better about it if Cam wore what?
And on a breasted,
you know, like something just like
double-breasted, like, vested suit or something.
Yeah, or maybe just like a nice, you know, pleated pants, like a gray, sweater coat or something like that.
You'd feel better about it.
Yeah, like, maybe one collar undone. You don't want to go full Chris Sims or something.
By the way, like, Cam to look like Daniel Jones, the history teacher.
Jeff Garcia, by the way, should wake up every morning and call Terrell Owens for even giving him a career. If it wasn't for T.O., nobody would have ever heard of Jeff Garcia. Go back to some of those games with San Francisco. All he did was throw to T.O. And why wouldn't you? But that's what put him on the map and even gave him that job out there.
He's from the fabulous area of Gilroy, California.
Okay. There you go.
That's where I'm from. With your jock sock cart.
I mean, look, I didn't really get that reference.
I thought Cam Newton should be replaced at quarterback because his play has been subpar.
You didn't mention the suits, Dale.
I never gave his outfit a thought. In fact, I'll say this. It's one of the highlights Susan and I watch the games together on Sunday. I'll pull up on the iPad and I'll say, okay, here was today's outfit.
There he is, looking coming, sharp.
And she says, oh, that looks really nice. I like the red shoes. I think it was the red shoes a week or two ago. I mean, are you kidding me, Jeff Garcia?
Yeah, he stinks.
Wave to a clue from shore.
That's Jeff.
It's just, he sounds like a moron.
Dale's unloading all barrels on Jeff Garcia. Yeah, here you go. I tell you what, Jeff, I'll look right in the radio.com cameras. If I were you, Jeff Garcia, I'd hide that take in your jock sock.
There you go.
Cart or wherever you want to put it.
Nailed
with
them.
I've seen the photos of you with your acid wash jeans from the 90s and your high cut blazers and your terrible fashion choices as well.
Boom roasted.
Boom roasted.
Those chest protector ties.
That's the exactly. I mean, come on now. I mean, he's really
t-shirts.
Saying. He's. Have you seen? I mean,
Limp Bizkit concert tees.
Wow.
Come on,
Limp Bizkit.
Would have been good if I nailed it.
It would have been.
Nope.
It still would have been. Poor.
It would have been okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Listening to your Knuckleback albums.
Not hate on Nickelback.
Jeff Garcia looks like a Nickelback.
I mean,
album.
Who
he does.
Who are you? The bass player for the Don Matthews Band?
He was actually the subject of the Creed album Weathered.
He does. He's got a little of that to him.
So Jeff Garcia ultimately wants Cam Newton. Forget about the fact that somebody like him could tell us about like where the ball is leaving his hand or where his hips are pointed when he's throwing or how he's not running through his progressions and his reads. It's more like you should come to the stadium if you're going to dress that brashly with an alternate defeat uniform. I mean, would Bill Belichick ever want anyone who comes prepared for the option of defeat walking through the front door of Gillette Stadium?
I don't think that he would.
Yeah.
Fitzy.
No.
I don't. I don't think that he would.
617-779-7937. Back to the calls with you guys. George is in Fall River. Hey, George.
Hey, Dale. Hey, Keith. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fitzy's good, too.
Just a little bit on Cam. I mean, we all know that he was a run first oriented quarterback when he was a kid in Auburn. I think you go back and look at it, he was more rushing than passing. A little more accurate when he was younger. He's lost it now. But as far as receivers, we got tight ends. We got receivers.
Huh?
We just need somebody that can see it and throw it. Stidham, we invested all the time in him. I don't know. I'd like to see him take the time that Cam got and to see where he would be at this point.
Well, I would have done it this week. Rich wants to wait a week, but I will say I'm not sure we've had an opportunity, and I'm not saying Stidham hasn't gotten a fair shake or any of that stuff. He shouldn't have been the starting quarterback. But I would like to see how he performed with a full week of practice under his belt, because we just saw how Cam Newton performed with a full week of practice under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awful.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is Breaking News, brought to you by Northeast Insurance, a proud sponsor of Clear Path for Veterans New England.
Guys, good news from the Professional Football Injury Desk. The rich just keep getting richer. Patriots linebacker Brandon Copeland is out for the remainder of the season with a torn pectoral muscle, according to Binge Sports.
The old torn pec, huh?
The old torn pec.
All right.
A position obviously of great depth for your New England Patriots. I'm looking for double, triple, secret corroboration on this, but right now, the story from Binge Sports, which has broken a few stories in the previous
Pro
past.
Pro Football Talk has it, too.
Big Anthony Jennings
LPFT. There you go.
The rest of the way.
Hey, guys. Hashtag UcheSZN coming up. So that's official. Brandon Copeland, torn pec, out for the season.
Also, to go back to the last caller, it's a little overstating it that Cam ran more than he threw. I think he threw twice as much as he ran. It was still one of those Tebow-type years where he had like 50-something touchdowns or more, but that's not necessarily the case. He's never been this bad at throwing the ball. And I think it's also, you could say Cam's bad, like the caller said, or you want to bench him, like Dale said. But the caller also is kind of fluid. He's like, well, they got receivers and tight ends. And they don't. They don't, though.
Look, I don't think he's throwing the ball to the receivers and tight ends that he has all too often.
Right.
I'm just sort of past the point where I'm putting all the blame on them. When the previous quarterback was here, they always got the blame. And, you know, it was the default position here is if the pass missed, Tom put it where it was supposed to be, the receiver wasn't where he was supposed to be. Mm-hmm.
How much better, though, would you feel? I guess the answer is a little bit.
Why don't you ask the question first?
Okay, so instead of 33-6, what if it was 33-20? Let's say Cam took advantage of
Wait. You can score a touchdown?
You can. What if you scored multiple?
What
if you pulled a Denver and scored multiple field goals? So instead of just looking long and looking for these routes that are not open, that are taking too long to develop, or sadly, that Cam just flat out isn't hitting, like the Bird one we mentioned earlier where he hit his feet, what if you took advantage of the checkdowns, the short routes, and all these dump-offs that everyone's giving to you and did the slow matriculation down the field?
I'd feel a little bit better. There were three quarterbacks yesterday who threw more touchdown passes in their game than the Patriots have all season. That's a real stat. That's a real statistic. In six games, the Patriots quarterbacks have thrown three touchdowns.
I think
Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady each threw four, and Baker Mayfield threw five. There was also another four who threw three, so they tied them. Herbert, Murray, Burrow, Wilson threw as many touchdowns yesterday as the Patriots have all season.
Herbert, Murray, Burrow sounds like the name of like one of your uncles.
Might be.
My God.
Two rookies threw as many touchdowns yesterday as your team has all season.
Right? Now, in the past, the Patriots occasionally, not a lot, but occasionally would have a stinker. And it would be bad, and you'd have sad Tom and belligerent Bill. But you were pretty damn confident that he was going to take this bull by the horns and they were going to figure this out and they were going to come out of this. He was a fixer. Bill Belichick was a fixer of stuff. I have no sense that that's going to happen right now. I have no sense that Belichick and that coaching staff, Josh McDaniels, could say, all right, I know what to do with Cam. Cam, come here. We're going to fix this. You're going to be good to go on Sunday. Based on what?
Nothing.
What was the Tony Dungy quote at halftime of Sunday Night Football? It was, there's no better fixer of football in the NFL than Bill Belichick. However, at this point now, I think he's in it too deep. There's too much to fix. Like, yeah. Tony Dungy is not one to ever like lay wreaths at the doorstep of Bill Belichick.
No.
But for him to sort of begin it with a compliment and then get real about it makes me think that's what a lot of football people are thinking.
Well, that's and after yesterday, for the first time, I thought, oh, my God, they got to fix this defense, too.
Right.
Like, I thought the defense
double-barreled
was okay.
Right now.
Yeah.
It is. It's double-barreled.
Now it's like, oh,
that's my
okay.
point. They don't do it. They're
I
not
thought
good.
I had to. Fitz, are you okay? Did you spit up there?
No, I'd spit up a little. I spit up a little water,
just
but also
water. I just hydrating got, today.
I just realized that Brandon Copeland might have just walked in and been like, "Oh, my pack, it's killing
me. You're fine.
It's killing me." No, you're fine. You didn't ask out of the game yesterday.
I don't want to play. I don't. I'm done with this.
Is this an internal opt out?
Oh, God. It's Uche. Hey.
Josh Uche,
Optimus Prime is here.
Anthony
Uche
Jennings
season is here.
Play the kids.
Maybe Asiasi's a really good. Maybe he can.
Fitzy's not.
The other side of the ball.
Fitzy, it cost you lunch today.
Yeah.
It for everybody, for everybody on the show.
Yeah, it was more of a brunch. It was more of a brunch.
Nice sausage patty.
And it got scarfed down by Keith in about a second and a half. So.
Record time. Delicious, though. Thank you. It's giving me this extra energy I have today.
The goal of today was for all of us to try to leave feeling a little better. Now we're all going to be like...
You already did. You told... Was it Dale or you, Fitzy? You already made it better. The Mandalorian comes out on Friday.
That was who said that.
I gave that to Lawrence Guy.
So
the good news is it's Mandalorian week.
Mandalorian's out on Friday. Do you like a Halloween? I know it's canceled, but do you like a Halloween? That's this week.
Oh, yeah, that's gone.
If you like that, you got to stay in your house while you do that. But
by the way, next
virtual
Sunday.
Virtual trick-or-treat?
By the way, next Sunday, sundown is at 4:36 in the afternoon.
Dale, doesn't matter.
Dale, I'm
time,
already,
space.
This is the way.
Oh, that's a timely drop, John. Thanks.
I'm already sundown. I'm already.
We've moved past that.
I'm already emotionally sundowning.
Was that this
sundowning.
Segment that we brought that up?
I think you only have half a brain sometime, or maybe it's not connected.
Have you noticed that all of John's burns, I put in quote, are all brain-related? Like, I don't know what kind of science class
he
was in.
You make it so easy.
Guys,
and he has his own drops. Everybody's got a pea-sized brain, and his brain doesn't work, and he's got a half a brain.
I only said that twice, and it was because you made fun of me
so
after the second time.
You've always mentioned brain.
We're turning on each other now. Look at what the Patriots are doing. This is what they want.
Thanks a lot.
This is what they want. Don't take the bait.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
John sounding like the president of the United States in there. Not a pea-sized brain.
None of it is going well.
Tiny
none of it's
brain.
Going well.
He's a stiff.
Although, Dale, I believe things might be turning around a little bit as it relates to Fitzy's wallet. They just might be.
Well, we will take a check on that. We were counting on CeCe Keefe.
That's right.
Being the catalyst to kind of propel this thing along.
She picks winners.
She just is on a heater, too. So we'll check on... Free Money Monday, which is kind of a follow-up to Free Money Friday, and we'll even add in a Monday Night Football sprinkle for Fitzy and Shime, I think. And by the way, what else you got today is a special edition, because all of us at some point this weekend did watch Borat 2.
That's right. So it's a little Dale and Keefe Movie Club?
Yeah, that's coming up.
All right, good.
It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
This is the Kids Make the Darndest Picks Lock of the Week in the Battle of the Unbeatens, Steelers and Titans.
Whoa.
CeCe is going against Thanos.
Oh!
And she is going with the Steelers getting a point.
Do the math, dummy. Battle for the state of New York, even though they're technically playing the game in New Jersey. So easy, even CeCe could pick it. Lock of the Week.
Ooh.
And it's very easy for me to pick this game. Buffalo is favored by 13 points.
Take a picture of the over pick of the week. He was so shocked that the over, that the total for the Bengals, the Battle of Ohio, Bengals-Browns, is only 50.
I know you guys don't like teases, but Kansas City teased with Buffalo Bills.
So the one loss we had this week was Fitz's.
Nobody to blame? So, but Fitzy himself, but
so
3-1.
CC nailed it.
Of course.
Scheim, remotely through John, nailed it.
Nailed it.
Our caller nailed the tease, which we mocked.
Nailed it.
3-1. A winning week. Dare I say the first winning week of the football season?
Was that the first winning week, Scheim?
I think you guys had a lot.
No, I've had a 3-1 week prior.
Oh, you did?
Ah.
Ah, 3-1.
Since Fitzy was betting your money?
I thought you had like...
I've had one.
All right.
Because that's how we ended up getting any wins at all.
Sean was telling me during the break, though, butt's feeling a little warm in here.
Ooh, hot butts.
Ooh.
What do you got, hot butts?
Here's the thing. I have...
Steamy buns?
After I went back, I wasn't here.
Yes,
I went
no
back, listened to the pick.
Yes.
And Keith, let me tell you something.
Yeah, what's that?
I have a bone to pick with you.
You got a bone to pick?
I got a bone to pick.
I am furious.
Furious?
Because... All last season, three times on three different occasions, I tried to do a tease and you yelled at me.
Yes, I
you
did.
Scoffed at me and said,
"We scoffed at the caller too.
We don't
too.
Do that here." But you allowed it.
We allowed it.
This chime grinds my gears.
I understand your response to this, but desperate times call for desperate measures.
If you wanted and teases, I would have given you teases.
We want winners, Scheim, and you weren't giving us winners.
Yeah, because you
so
told
we had
me no teases.
So we outsource it to a baby and a caller.
Okay.
So
to
if
the
a babies, caller asked for a teaser, God bless them.
To
we'll
the
take
point
it.
Of the baby, though, she's undefeated. So
she is undefeated.
I mean, she is 2-0 on the young season.
She is
high.
An oracle.
Wonderful, the mind of a child is.
So she's undefeated. You're right. The caller, we usually don't take teases, but when we're chasing it right now, we are under 500. And by we, I mean you two.
And I would like to also point out that all three of the options I gave to John, because I wasn't sure what everybody else was picking.
Here we go.
All three of the picks I gave to John hit this week.
How do you like
that? So there.
How do you like that?
So me and CC would have gone 4-0.
But 3-1, Fitzy, how are you feeling about the new format? Or are you still going to pick? The only loss was yours.
It was. And if the GD kicker up there made his field goals.
He made six of them.
I know, it's not enough. Eight is enough, not six.
I would be mad at Josh Allen for, not scoring a touchdown all game.
One touchdown.
Then
we run
touchdown.
The board and Scheim and I hit an extra parlay that
the
a couple of
Jets
degenerates
covered.
Like us.
So for all these people, hey, watch out for the Bills.
The Jets were 0-6 against the spread.
I know.
I was following the math.
They were due. They were due. So what's going to be the new format going forward? What do you feel comfortable with?
Nothing.
Okay, so Fitzy's out.
So here's my suggestion.
Fitzy's dead inside.
Here's my suggestion.
Okay, I'll take some suggestions.
So
that always works.
Since technically the callers are undefeated,
callers
I think
undefeated?
We should still allow them to make one pick. I think CeCe
also has to make a pick.
Gets a pick because she's a young oracle. She's on a heater.
Good point.
Can't quit on a heater.
No, you cannot.
And then I will take the other two picks. And we'll take
himself now.
"Quote unquote" Fitzy's opinions for.
So
this is like Adam Gase giving play calling to Dowell Loggins.
Yeah, this is. I am Mike McCarthy with the Green Bay Packers saying, "Yes, you can call plays. I'm immediately taking them back."
All right, so Fitzy, you could still have your red challenge flag like we started last week or 2 weeks ago. We started
you mean
that.
When I challenged out of a winner and chose a loser?
Yeah, that. Yes.
You know what? We're taking the challenge flag away.
Over mine.
Fitzy blew
the challenge flag. Back in your sock,
and you're
not allowed to take it out again.
So what do you think of that? So Scheim now only needs to zoom in on the board. Four picks, we were asking too much.
It's a lot.
You zoom in on just two, his two best bets of the week.
Choice cuts.
That's
but
all we
the
need.
Here's the problem, okay?
Yeah.
He doesn't know what the caller's going to do. He doesn't know what CeCe's going to do, so he's back to,
I was going to pick
CeCe's pick.
Here's the beauty of the CeCe pick, Dale. You just give her any two helmets.
She
any two.
Care.
You guys pick the game. It doesn't matter what it is, and she'll pick the winner out of that group.
And I've noticed I've had much more success betting totals.
Totals.
So there may be a trend going
totals.
Forward.
Totals. He's
all
found
three
a sweet
of my
spot.
Picks this
now.
Week were total picks.
Okay.
And I had nailed all of them.
All right.
So I think going forward, I'm going to have to look into more totals.
Now, a question from the gallery. Will teasers be allowed back into the equation?
No.
It's
absolutely not.
It is a valid point by Scheim. We wouldn't let anybody else do it.
I know.
It.
I was just, we were so desperate as
Never
a show
again.
For a winner.
I did mock the
caller.
Yeah, request enough.
I appreciate that, Dale. I appreciate you mocking him. I want you to know, my anger was more directed at Rich because he was the one that accosted me last year for even suggesting a tease. And so I appreciate
it. All right, so now it is one pick. The caller gets one pick. It has to either be a spread, an outright winner,
you
or
can
an
give
over
us a prop.
Under.
It doesn't matter.
A player prop,
give
as long as you can
one
bet on
bet.
It.
Okay. So we can do props but not teases? What
yes.
world is this? Because
it's one thing. The
it's
tease
one
is just
specific
too slappy,
thing.
And then you're like, all right, what's the odds
fun.
Now? And
it's you're
like,
in the weeds, and it's just a mess.
It's okay. fun. It's all too right. many picks. Now it turns into five picks that you need.
All right, you're right.
Six picks.
We probably should avoid teases. Scheim, who do you like tonight?
So tonight, ooh, I actually really like the Chicago Bears getting 6 points. Now, it's weird. I have thought all year that Chicago is kind of a fraud 5-1 team.
Was that a bear or was that Mike, the previous
caller? That
was
our old caller, Mike, having a snooze, hibernating.
So I've thought they were kind of a fraud team, but at the same time, the Rams have only beaten the NFC East.
More
which,
frauds.
As we can tell, is...
bigger frauds.
Yeah, they might be bigger frauds than the Bears, and somehow the Bears are getting 6 points.
That's outrageous.
I understand it's in L.A., but the Bears, no matter what, the Bears keep it close. Mm-hmm. Like, they've only gone over the total of 50 once all season. Today's total is 44.5. I'm really kind of unsure on that. I thought about teasing it, but I'd rather
Wait, what?
Now you're teasing it?
Now you're talking about teasing it.
If you let me finish.
God,
but I'm simply confident in Bears getting six, so I'm just going to take the Bears getting the 6 points.
Listen,
tonight.
I know I'm not the money man here. I might even sprinkle Bears outright.
So I learned a nice little tip. If you're ever betting on an underdog, don't bet your full unit on the getting the points.
Shime, I don't want to hear about you.
Take
full
a
unit.
Small.
Don't tell me what to do with my unit.
Take a fraction of the unit, sprinkle it on the money line.
And I'm the child.
Slice my unit in half.
No.
You got a whole bag of Bobbish.
I want you to take
a couple of those frapples, sprinkle it on the money line.
All right. So some money line, some plus six. I think Bears is the play tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. 5-1. Also, if a bear met a ram in the wild, who would win?
A bear. 100 times out of 100.
Always a bear.
Always.
Ram would give him everything he's got.
Yeah,
he's
like a ram wants.
Yeah, but they're named after what they do.
They're dumb.
A ram's got to get in close, and if a bear, it has like 5 knives on its hand, one swing, the ram's toast.
Rams can't climb trees or probably swim that well.
No,
bears,
definitely
any
not.
Terrain a bear would be a ram.
And with the amount of honey the bear is eating, it's probably sticky. Ram can't really get going.
Yeah, no, rams are stupid, so I would take a bear in that fight.
Did you ever get rammed by a ram?
I never have.
No?
No.
I hit by a Dodge Ram once.
How'd it go?
He's still here.
I'm alive.
He's doing okay.
Well enough-ish. That's all it needed to go down.
Buddy of mine backed up into me.
Oh, in a Dodge Ram.
Yes. That's kind of a low stakes. That was kind of a low stakes.
Yeah,
hit.
I kind of thought maybe you could hit like a higher speed.
Not quite.
So it's been a while since the early days of the pandemic when we've had to do the Dale and Keith movie club. And this is a little different because then we were telling you stuff to watch. This time we're going to review something we already did watch. It's Dale and Keith with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
This meeting of the Dale and Keith Movie Club is now in session.
14 years ago, I released a movie film which brought great shame to Kazakhstan. But now I was instructed to return to Yankee Land to carry out secret mission.
I go to America!
What do you say? No, it's not me.
People make recognize my face. I would need disguises.
This man is sex criminal?
No, I'm not sex criminal.
I will take this to be a fat like American man.
So we're probably going to make some people mad because they're the ones who haven't yet seen Borat 2 subsequent movie film. But it's the story of America, and it's been trending everywhere, and we all watched it this weekend, and an opportunity. I got to go back and watch it again, because I got to tell you, there were things I missed that Twitter clued me in on.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a for instance, and sorry if I give something away, I didn't realize that when he went into the hotel lobby wearing the KKK outfit, he said, "I'm Stephen Miller, sorry I'm late." Like, I missed that when it happened.
He was just trying to blend in.
I know.
That's all he wanted to do. He just wanted to show up at that convention. But this, I had my doubts because I know it's different than a standard movie, but the idea of the comedy sequel, it has not been done very well, particularly one where they take such a long time off to make. Like, hey, let's make another Super Troopers. Let's make another Dumb and Dumber.
I never wanted to do this.
Caddyshack 3.
So
like,
bad.
You're not going to see it.
Because
Caddyshack 2 was awful.
The first one came out in 2006, and it's one of the best comedies ever.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the last 20 years. It's one of the funniest movies ever. And you're like, all right, what are they going to do? But because it is so based off of what is actually going on in America, now is the time for it. And I still like the first movie. I laughed harder at the first movie.
Yes.
But this was really good.
I thought this was
enjoyable.
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. Given the idea that he incorporates so much of what we're doing right now and dealing with, the fact that it addresses the pandemic, the fact that he folds in that he has to go through bigger hoops, that he has to undertake greater means to disguise himself because people recognize
everybody
him.
Everybody knows who he
thanks
is
thanks to his first, you know, yeah.
It's a great play off of it, too, right? It's like, I was so famous in Kazakhstan and I made this movie that everybody knows because of that. And it's because that was the other question I had. It's like, it's impossible because the first movie and people then also went back and started watching the Ali G show, which was so good and where he first developed Borat, that people know who he is. Like, he's right. recognizable, especially as that character. But they addressed that right away. And you're like, all right, he's going to have to. Now,
the costume shop scene was fantastic.
Now, he still plays Borat in several scenes. And I'm still wondering, like, how many of those scenes are real people versus kind of tipped off actors type of thing? I don't really know. I didn't look into it enough. Right? Like the ones where he's like just one on one where he's Borat.
Two guys, you think?
Yeah, or? Like that one.
He was there long time.
Yeah,
like,
why does he not know what was going on?
Why does he have a film crew? I don't know. Well, Dale. They're really good actors.
But like, how do you get a film crew? It's the same way he was able to interview all these people for years and years and years and years. Like, they find a way to come up with forge it or whatever.
The two stars, quote unquote, of the movie for me were Janine, the black woman, and Judy, and Judy, the Jewish woman in the synagogue. I mean,
wanted to give him a hug. She was so nice.
She was great.
I have never heard the name Maria Bakalova until this movie. Don't know anything about her acting credentials or previous IMDb or anything. But that young woman is brave.
Bold.
Yeah. Oh, she did a great job.
And without giving anything away, let's just say the debutante scene that she does. And there are four of us watching it at the time, and everybody's kind of cringing and, you know, covering their eyes, but everybody's going, how do you have the guts to do that?
I mean, that debutante place is just a thing of nightmare. Like, how is that real life? How is that Earth? Like,
this is the same country that they are under the same flag you do.
Oh, right.
That same flag, same country. So you're America up here, same country as
theirs. How about when Borat goes over to the one old guy and he's like, how much for my daughter? And he looks at her, he's like, oh, about 500. And then that guy's daughter looks, he's like, you're disgusting. I'm like, what?
And said something else, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's the least you could do. Good Lord. So the most famous scene that was going around that people were talking about before it even was released, because it came out on Friday night, was with Rudy Giuliani, who says he knew what was going on. Right?
Not a chance.
No way!
No way he knew what was going on.
Shall we have a drink in the bedroom?
There you go, my dear.
Okay.
You can give me your phone number and your address.
Put down your crumb. She's 15. She's too old for you.
She's
my daughter. Please, take me instead. Take my anus.
I was in prison many years, so I have techniques with my mouth.
What's going on here? Look at this guy.
Rudy, Trump will be disappointed. You are leaving hotel without golden shower.
So he claims that he like knew what was going on. And like first of all, Borat, under a different disguise, came in and did a sound check for him.
He was the boom operator.
He was the boom operator, which was hysterical. He comes in, talks to him, and Giuliani knew nothing at that point. And then he claims like he knew. Oh, what gave it away? When Borat came running in like women's underwear after the fact, that's when he knew something was up. And the way he's laying in the bed and then hears somebody at the door and the way he kind of pops up.
Bolts up.
Oh, he knew what he was doing.
Help me out here.
Or I'm saying he didn't know he was being set up.
Well, help me out because I've never done this, but I'm sure you have. When was the last time you laid on a bed to tuck your shirt in?
Never. I've never actually tucked my shirt in.
Even I'm not fat enough to have to do that.
Yeah, that's not what happened.
That's the line. Is, you know, he was just tucking in his shirt.
Well, I mean, how many?
I don't know about you, but when I tuck my shirt in, I stand up and tuck my shirt in.
Like a real American Dale. Right.
Yeah. I think he was trying to tuck something out. Is what it kind of looked like to me.
But the scene features Rudy Giuliani like several times reaching over and like creepily like doing that giant grin of his. I mean, Rudy Giuliani in real life now looks like the guy who tried to marry Beetlejuice to Winona Ryder at the end of Beetlejuice. And like reaching over, he's like patting her lap, like or touching her knee, like, that's okay, my dear. That's okay.
But also, like, he's sitting
he's
on the bed
the whole time.
And he also kind of puts his arm around her, like for her to sit or whatever. And you're like, that's got nothing to do with your shirt being tucked in.
And I'll also say this about Sacha Baron Cohen. On back-to-back nights here in the house, we watched Chicago 7, followed by Borat 2. What a week for Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well. Yeah, he was good in that movie, too.
He's an incredible actor. I tell you, hardest working people in this country whoever comes up with his writers, disclaimers, and the legal documents you have to sign, because you see there are faces blurred out in the film.
There are people
so
those guys didn't sign. They don't show you.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which,
no.
They come in afterwards, Dale, and they have you sign this huge form. And so basically you think like, oh, I'm in this documentary, or oh, I'm in this comedy series. You don't realize that you're actually part of this new Borat production. Lots of people try and sue, but their lawyers work on these for months in advance. How about the scene where he's on the stage at that little rally?
He's Country Steve.
And he sings,
Country Steve.
Country Steve comes out, and as soon as he starts ripping Obama, the crowd's like, yeah, this is it.
Oh, when he actually did that in June, that made the news.
That made the news.
The news that he was performing, and it's like, these people in the audience don't know.
No. When he was at the Pence rally, that made news. Remember, he was dressed up as Trump. That made news, and there was another one. No, it was that one. Yeah. So both of those came into the news, and you're like, what is he doing? And you're like, Country he's making Steve. Another movie. Country Steve is so...
Country Steve is very close to one of the characters from Who is America, so I think what Cohen did here was he basically wanted to take Who is America and attach the name Borat to it, because a lot of Borat, the things Borat does is very recycled from that.
Got it. Yeah, it makes sense.
That was like a long workshop for this. Okay.
It was. He's one of those, there's like a handful of comedic geniuses, and it's Sacha Baron Cohen, it's like Dave Chappelle, it's Trey Parker, and like a few other guys like that are doing it right now, and it's just, man, that movie was good, and I didn't know if he had it in him, just based on how are you going to work around everybody knowing you and pulling it off again, and he did it.
Get at least one Academy Award for makeup artistry, because whatever they did to Maria Bakalova at the beginning of the movie, and what she's like in real life, whoever that makeup artist is a genius.
Well, I'll be sleeping in the same crate, eating the same monkey tonight after I lost all my money this weekend. And the Patriots lost again.
The monkey.
All right, we got to get out of here. Fitzy, we'll see you on Wednesday. Tomorrow, Andy Hart will be with us. Keyshawn Johnson will be with us. OMF is coming up next. And at some point this afternoon, there will be long, awkward pauses when the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, will join them.
3:15, tune in for that.
3:15, yep. And I can't wait. See you guys later. Bye.
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.